Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Thank you guys for joining me tonight. I'm just a humble servant of God with a message. And what we have been doing the last 3 weeks, and this will be the fourth part of this sermon series, is talking about salvation. And the whole point of this preaching, teaching series is about discipleship. And you can't be a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus, unless you know that you are a child of God. And I encourage you guys to go back and listen to part 1, part 2, and part 3. They're very important. They're very critical. There's going to be stuff in there that there's a good chance you're not hearing it at your church because they're not preaching the whole truth. What it means to be a child of God. You see, to be a child of God is not separate from being a disciple. Meaning when we walk out those doors, we are supposed to live a life that is different. People are supposed to know us by our fruit. Problem is, we walk out and we blend in with the whole world and we're not really a disciple of Jesus. Because if we are truly a disciple of Jesus, we'll be grieved because we have the Holy Spirit that corrects us. To talk the way like the world, to act like the way of the world, we are supposed to be different. And that's the problem. And that's why you're seeing evil abound. And it will abound more for it's over with because the gospel is not being preached. The simple message as salvation is not being preached the entirety of the scriptures. And that's what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to expound on. And I encourage you guys to listen to part 1, part 2, and part 3. And tonight is part 4. And we will be looking at Genesis 2:15. And we're going to follow that all the way to Genesis 3:24. So if you have your Bibles, we're starting at Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden, to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Remember that word or that phrase, surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam. See what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, there was a name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found an helpmate for him. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it up. And flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. And brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall she touch it. Here's that. Lest she die. Remember up when we were at verse 17 up there, it says, surely die. Here it says, lest she die. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You can see that Satan here is using surely die here, twisting the scriptures, what God has said to his good. Verse 5, for God do not know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice, Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? He said, I hear thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Has thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou givest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, that serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed among the cattle, and but every beast of the field, upon the belly shall thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception and sorrow that hath bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Amen. This is the word of God. And unto Adam he said, because I have hearkened unto the voice of his wife, has eaten of the tree which I command thee, saying, thou hast not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shall thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. And thorns also, thistles, shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till the return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now thus, lest he put forth his hand, take also the tree of life, eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground, from hence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, for us to study your word. Lord, I pray that you be with your humble servant. You guide and you direct these words that you need me to say. Lord, I pray it reaches the ears of who's hearing it tonight. Maybe they're at a church that is not preaching the truth, Lord. I pray, God, they open their eyes and they find a different church that is preaching the truth. Lord, I pray those in the pulpit that are not, you deal with them. Lord, there's a time coming, and I believe we're living in it, where sound doctrine will be in short supply. Everybody will have turned, or most of everybody will turn, and follow that path that is easy. That path to easy believism, that path that is wide and is so nice. And I'm afraid most of the church in America is walking that path, Lord. Lord, that narrow path is hard. It's crooked. It got rocks. It'll cut your feet. It's painful, but it's the only way to you, straight to the cross, straight to salvation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just Just be with those that are hurting tonight. I pray that you be with the ones that are in sorrow and mourning. Lord, I pray that you be with our leaders within the government. I pray that you be with our men of God in the pulpits. I pray that you be with the Bible teachers that are standing on the truth of the gospel and not compromising who they are. That their life is a reflection of something different. They don't blend into this world. They don't act like this world. They are separate. They are holy. They are righteous before a holy and righteous God. We have lost that. Lord, will we get it back? I don't know. Lord, I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, here is the historical account. Yes, I say historical. Of the fall of man, if you've ever heard that term, that phrase, the fall of man, the curse. You see, Genesis here is given the account of that curse and that fall. If you have never read Genesis, I encourage you to read it. Of course, when you look at Genesis 1, that gives the account of God creating a perfect world. You see, when you say perfect, he said it was good. I guarantee what God calls good is beyond what we can imagine. You see, there was no extreme weather like hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and volcano activity. You didn't have extreme heat, extreme cool. It was just right. I don't know if you can picture that. It's hard. And he also created these animals, right? And these animals were not meat eaters. They ate plant. They were plant eaters. I love studying about dinosaurs, and you have what you call herbivores, which are herbivores, which are plant eaters, and carnivores are actually meat eaters. But see, initially how it was planned, that the animals did not eat meat. They ate plants. Picture you may be an animal lover like me, or you might watch documentaries on Animal Planet. I love watching Animal Planet documentaries. And you watch lions and tigers, I promise you, they don't eat plants no more. They are carnivore. They eat meat. It wasn't like that at the very beginning. And we can see that God created a man, Adam, which his name means dirt man, from the ground. And he was the first human being created. And God gave him a commandment, to keep and attend the garden. But he could eat of every tree in that garden, except one tree. And it was that tree that was in the midst, that's the middle of the garden, that tree of knowledge of good and evil. If he takes of this the fruit of this tree, God tells him, you will surely die. And we see that God, seeing he was lonely, and he brought these animals trying to create companionship for Adam, he ended up creating a woman, a helpmate. Later, she's called Eve. And these two were to keep the garden and have children. And somewhere within that relationship between Adam and Eve, communication broke down. And that's still how the devil operates within a marriage. He wants to make it to where it's miscommunicated. The attack on marriage and family has been going on before I was even born. The more I read and more I study, the more my heart burns and hurts for this nation. Before I was a thought in my daddy's mind or a baby in my mama's womb, the marriage has been attacked and the outcry has not been great. And now we're where we're at now. We need to stand and preach the gospel. See, the devil distorts the word of God as he was distorting here. Somewhere the communication wasn't clear. We really don't know the dialogue, but we do know with Adam and Eve and how he was supposed to communicate that with her. We know that Eve allowed herself. Eve allowed this to happen to herself, to be deceived by Satan. Satan enters the serpent. And I literally believe that Satan entered that serpent. And we also know Adam allowed for this deception by not stopping it. I personally believe, based off the language, he was right there watching it. And they went against what God has commanded, to not eat of that tree. And once they realized, they took and they realized they were naked. That shame, that guilt, that sin. Sin does that, guys. If you're truly a child of God, when you sin, and a lot of people want to take that, oh, you messed up. They don't want to talk about sin. Sin is real. Sin grieves God's spirit. It should grieve our spirit if we are children of God that are supposed to have the Holy Spirit within us. Sin will create that shame, and sin will create that guilt. And they were ashamed, and they took those fig leaves and they covered their, made an apron, trying to cover their sin. How we try to cover our sin, God sees it all. You could fool that preacher. You could fool that Bible teacher. You can even fool your family. But God sees what's going on in that heart of yours. God sees what you're doing behind closed doors. God sees you, how you act at your work. God sees it all. He sees it when you're at school. And God come. He came and he already knew, but he called them out on their disobedience immediately. Adam blames God. He says, "Is that woman you gave me, God?" And he blames the serpent instead of placing the blame on themselves. And this sad truth, we still do that today. Because of this disobedience, sin enters the world, the fallen man. You see, at that point in time, God could have said, "I had enough." Oh, how his grace and mercy endures forever. How he has, he's gracious and merciful. When I look at this old world, I'm like, God, how much more? How much more evil? I know there's people that need to hear the gospel, but how much more? I know your grace and mercy will run out. See, Genesis 3:15. This is the first prophetic promise by God that he was going to send a redeemer. Genesis 15 said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." See, Jesus was the star correcting this sin. It's through the life and death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that allows us to come where we are right now, to have that relationship with him. You see, when this curse hit with sin, the fallen man, that's when storms, sorrow, pain, death, all these diseases like cancer, AIDS, tumor, high blood pressure, these COVID, if you want to think of it, mental disorders, diseases that are rampant, suicides increasing, depression, anxieties, all-time record high. The curse, what we done. That's why we got children that go hungry as I speak right now. We have homeless people. We have broken families. Back pain, knee pain. Why women, when they give birth, they're in a lot of pain. Most of the time they can take medicine to help. But still they feel the pain. That's why we have a corrupt government. And that's why we have an anti-God movement in our nation, in a world that has decided they are gods. Before I was even born, right? This movement is increasing like birth pains. The coming of our coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? We're under the curse. Not anything that God has done. We want to point the fingers at God, but it's what we have done. God has given us free will to make a decision, to choose good or to choose evil. He does not want robots to follow Him. He wants those who are truly, that have the heart and passion, the fire for them. And we see after God proclaimed or made the proclamation of this curse, first on Eve and then on Adam and then on the whole world, and He had to kill animals for sacrifice, to clothe them. Blood had to be shed for this sin. And of course, this sets up the whole sacrificial system we see all through the Old Testament. And I encourage you guys to look at the Old Testament, study the Old Testament. It's amazing to look at it. And praise God that we're under grace. Of course, we know all these animal sacrifices were pointing to the true and the blameless sacrifice for our sins and sins. Jesus Christ, John 1:29 says this, the next day John seen Jesus coming unto him, said, Behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sins of the world. The Old Testament sacrifice system was seen when God shed the blood of these animals, and they had to be a blood sacrifice for the sin. Hebrews 9:22 says this, Almost all things are by the law purged with blood is not remission. Almost all things are by law purged with blood is not remission. And we know they were removed from the garden and from the tree of life. Sad, right? We're responsible for the condition of this world. Get over it. We think we're so high and mighty that we're above God. We need to humble ourselves and realize God is great. He is, His grace and mercy endures forever. And we're mere dirt people. It's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God sent His Son to this world. For God so loved the world, guys, that He gave His only begotten Son. And I hit on those verses in part 1, 2, and 3. I encourage you guys to look back over that. Surely die. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord took the man and put into the Garden of Eden, dressed it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden I would may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. It had a death sentence. Genesis 3, verse 1 and 4, which we already talked about, but I'll go back over again, is, Now the serpent was more subtle, more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. He said unto the woman, Yes, had God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, You may eat of the fruit of the trees of garden, of the fruits of the tree of gardens, but the fruit of the tree, which in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Lest ye die. What's going on here, guys? Romans 5, let me flip to it, 12 through 21, that's Romans 5, verse 12, Wherefore as by one man sin enter the world, Adam, death by sin, so death pass upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imparted when there is no law. Nevertheless, the death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had sinned against the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, and that would be Jesus. And but not as the offense, so also is the free gift, that salvation. For if thou the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, thank God. And here it is, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have bound unto many, And not as it was one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offense unto justification. For it's by one man offense death reigned, by one much more they receive abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by one offense, one judgment came unto all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Wherefore the law entered the offense, made abound, but their sin abound, grace did much more abound. And that if sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteous unto the eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What does this mean? Sin, the curse, the fallen man entered into this world, the first man, Adam. This sin leads to death. You see, a spiritual death. And we know because that spiritual death, it leads to a physical death. Provided the rapture does not occur, right? Revelation 21 verse 8 says this, but fearful and unbelieving and abominable murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerer, idolaters and all liars. This is not my words. These are the words from the Holy Scripture shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelations 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. It's important to get this, guys. Really don't know too much about hell, but we know enough. That second death, you see, within that disobedience in the garden, sin came into the world. That spiritual death, that's why they were cast out of the garden. And that spiritual death put that curse on man to have a physical death. Amen, a physical death. Our days are numbered. Tonight could be my last night. Could be yours. We don't know. Today could be our last. And we know if it was, or I hope if we know if it was, where we were going tonight. I pray it is to heaven. But you see, hell is not a beautiful place. It even grieves my heart to talk about it. You see, to understand the lake of fire, we have to really understand hell. It really troubled my heart to talk about this subject, but it has to be talked about. Luke 16. Flip to it. Luke 16:19-31. You might be familiar with this parable. Some call it a parable. Others call it a true event. Regardless, it's still sad. Luke 16:19. And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fair, stupendous every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being tormented in his torments, seeing Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham says, Son, remember thou hast a lifetime received thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, because of us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so by which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, will come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, I have was sent him my father's house, for I have five brothers, that may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abram said unto him, Thou have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if thou went unto from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, I, if they heard, hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be pursued though one raised from the dead. They're, you know, that's hard-hearting. That's a hard heart. Our nation is in that. It don't excuse us from preaching the gospel. We know in the last days many will not receive it. You know, as I was mentioning, some call this a parable, others call it a real event. Regardless, it's a sad story. We have a rich man. He had everything going on for him in this life. If you want to picture the most rich person you know out there, that has all the cars and the nice house, and they appear to be happy. They have the jacuzzi and the swimming pool, and they get to go on these million-dollar vacation trips. And here you have a poor man, not even enough food to eat, Lazarus. See, this life is temporary, guys. Whatever you may be going through, one thing is that we will carry with us is our soul. And it simply will be, our soul is for God or is for the devil. But both these guys die, and we can really get carried away with this parable. I view this as a parable. Some will, once again, it's a sad story regardless. But here, speaks of Abraham's bosom, and the other one goes to hell, and he is tormented. And somehow he's able to see his family, his brothers, and he wanted somebody to come, even raised from the dead, for it's too late, that they may repent, so they wouldn't have to go through what he's going through right now. The key I want for you guys to get, you can come off a lot of things about what is Abraham's bosom in this. Hell is real. I want to put it out there. Hell is real. Regardless of what this world will tell you, that it is not. Hell is real. So is heaven. Heaven is real. See, hell is just a holding place for those who rejected God and die. The final judgment will be in the lake of fire. And this, if you want to look at it, and while I was, where you guys don't think I'm over here in left field, Revelation 20, verse 14 says this, and the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So if it helps you to picture that, just think of lake of fire as the new hell. It's death and hell. This is the second death. Sad. Lake of fire is the second death. It's the final death. It's worked for all that rejected Jesus and salvation. It's even those who profess to know Jesus and their hearts are far from them. From Jesus. They're far from Jesus. That breaks my heart, guys. But the good news is you don't have to experience hell. You don't have to experience this second death. And one of the most important part and critical point of this series is to get the real message, not the watered-down version of salvation that almost every church in America is preaching. See, God sent Jesus Christ, and I, through the Holy Spirit, broke down part 1, 2, and 3, where we look at mercy and grace and justification and all this. And tonight we look more on sin and how it is. and how that original sin caused the curse of this world. And that we need to understand to be okay with sin, to act like it doesn't affect us, to say that you have that you can live in your sin and be saved is not correct. We sin leads to repentance. If you are a child of God, some people might get confused on what sin is, and it's very clear in Scripture. When you look at Galatians 5, it tells us exactly what sin is. It gives a list. This is just one spot in the Bible. Galatians 5:19 said, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry." That is putting anything in front of God. "Witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murdering, drunkenness, reviling, such of which I tell you before, as I told you in times past, they which do such things shall not," this is inspired word of God, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what we strive for: the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance, the faith. The meekness and temperance. Against us there is no law." And then verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. We live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not desire of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." There's a list there, guys, of sin. And Revelation 21:8 says this too: "But fearful," and that is the spirit of fear, "and unbelieving, and the abominable murderers and whoremongers and the sorcerer, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone." This, once again, is not my opinion. I'm straight from the word of God. The spirit of fear. Are you in that right now? Unbelieving, abominable, whoremonging, sorcery. That is even entertaining medias on the television that's dealing with sorcery. Idolatry. Do you put stuff before God every day that can be from work to family? All liars, even the white lies, guys. God didn't specify and say, "Oh, you can tell this little white lie, I don't care." It says all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Once again, the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to. I encourage you guys to check part 1, part 2, and part 3. This is meant to be a part of the series sermon, so you will not get the full impact of it. But heaven is real, just as hell is real. Revelation 20, verse 6 says this: "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign for him 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall we be made alive." There is life within Christ. There is, that is salvation, that is life. That is taking John 3:16-20 and looking at it and praying over it and praying that, "God, what does it look like?" You read that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." And I'm going from memory, guys, so if I might have the yees and theys might get mixed up there. He that believe on him is not condemned. But he that believe not on him is already condemned. Because why? They have not believed in the only begotten, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, in those parts, we talk about belief and faith, and that's important, and that leads to commitment. Commitment is part of a Christian life. Commitment is part of discipleship, and they don't go, they're not separate. They're together. We are in trouble in America because many are teaching that they're separate. You can say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't have to live a life that's different. I don't have to have a commitment. I'm telling you, that's a false gospel, and those people preaching it will be judged. They can repent, of course, but many won't because pride. Heaven is a beautiful thing, guys. Revelation 21 verse 4 said, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are past. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, but it is written, eye has not seen nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's waiting for true children of God. A place where we will not have no more of this pain. No more of this sorrow. No more death. I know I'm looking for that. All this stuff. All this weather. All these diseases. They're gone. We will fully be healed. Our eyes have not even seen. You can look at the most beautiful landscape in America or in another country, and only compare what God has prepared for his children. But the catch is, don't fool yourself. There's a cost to following Jesus, and we will hit that on the next sermon series. That'll be part 5. We're going to look at costs. Let me write that down. Costs. There's a cost in following Jesus. Don't let nobody tell you there is not a cost. There's a cost. In closing tonight, kind of recapping, we went to Genesis 2:15. And I encourage you guys to go back over those passages and look at them. Genesis 3:24, those two. Look at Genesis 3:15, which gives the promise of the Redeemer coming. That's the mercy and grace that God has shown us. He could have ended it right then and there. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and now we live in that curse, and now we have sin. And sin is present in our lives. But the thing is, when we have sin, our spirit should be grieved. We should not want to live in our sin. We would want to live more in the spirit, and want more in the spirit of God, and less in that flesh. We have flesh, and we have to, as Paul said, I had to die daily. He had to beat his flesh in submission, which I covered before. It's a struggle. But we have to live a life that is surrendering to Jesus every day. When we wake up, the first thing that we should do is get a long time with Jesus. Open our Bible. Seek his face for the day. Pray that he guides and directs our steps. Pray that when we have sin in our life, because it's hard out there to live a true Christian life, that he corrects you, and he will if you are a child of God. You will feel that conviction and that chastisement. on you. It's important to understand that if you choose not to follow Jesus, you will have that second death, that lake of fire. You will be tormented for the rest of your lives. If you want to slap Christianity on there and live a lukewarm Christian life, it's very clear in the scripture. He said, if you're neither hot or cold, I spit you out of my mouth. He will vomit you out of his mouth. You're not his. He said, those that persevere to the end will be saved. It's a daily surrender. It's a daily crucifying, letting the Holy Spirit crucify your flesh, beating in submission to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. That is what it means to walk as a Christian. And that is what we'll get into next week. Lord willing, is that the cost of discipleship? And I pray tonight these messages, they help you guys understand what it truly means to be a child of God. These 1, 2, 3, and this 4 kind of gives the breakdown of salvation. And we're going to go into this discipleship and the cost of discipleship, because it bears a cost. As you guys bow and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for giving me the voice to speak. Lord, I pray this message reach whoever it will. I don't know who. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about Jesus. I know your will be done, not mine. I don't understand truly sometimes my path other than to keep on pressing forward and proclaiming the gospel. Maybe that's my path. That is my path. Lord, I pray those that hear this message tonight, Lord, they take it. These scriptures that were provided from part 1, 2, and 3, and 4, they just take these scriptures and they write them down. They study them for themselves. And they pray over those scriptures. Not taking my word for it, taking the Bible's word for it. Lord, I pray that you be with those tonight that are doing Bible studies. I pray, Lord, that you be with the Bible teachers and the pastors, Lord, as they stand uncertain about what this year will bring them. But knowing we will stand fast in the Word of God. Lord, we know that you're still in control of everything. We know that you're still on the throne, Lord. We know that you will guide and you will direct your true followers. You will guide your true church and those that will stand on the true gospel, regardless of what the cost may cost them in the end, for standing on the Word of God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. If you guys have any questions, just hit me on my website. I'm on Facebook right now. I am on a new account called MeWe. Of course, I'm on, and Pollard's been taken down, so Pollard won't probably ever open back up. So you guys have a good night. Love y'all. Bye.